Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. If you've ever served in a team, whether a sports team, a business team, a volunteer team, a military team, a ministry team, you've learned choosing team members is critical to the team dynamics and teamwork, right? It can be a wonderful experience or a very painful, dysfunctional experience. Do you agree? I wonder what memories come to your mind when you think of team. In these days, we're on a 40-day journey toward Easter with Jesus. Yesterday, I left you standing with Jesus and three guys who were going to eventually be part of his team of 12 disciples. They didn't know that yet, as they were just meeting each other, but I think Jesus knew. The three guys were named John, Andrew, and his brother Peter. All three were fishermen by trade and lived in the towns near Lake Galilee, which they fished. They'd been friends a long time, but they were just meeting Jesus. John, one of these three guys, ended up writing the fourth gospel of the New Testament, which bears his name, and he's telling us the story. So join me in John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." I'm including a map in my notes so you can see the area John is describing. The Jordan River flows south from Lake Galilee to the Dead Sea. That's the river in which John the Baptist was baptizing people. What John referred to as the Galilee was the region around and to the west of Lake Galilee. People there were often referred to as Galileans. The region down near Jerusalem was referred to as Judea. Between Judea and Galilee was another region called Samaria, and the people who lived there were called Samaritans. The Samaritans were disliked by both the Jews who lived in Galilee and Judea. The reason traces back 700 years to when the ferocious kingdom of Assyria conquered the nation of Israel from just north of Jerusalem all the way up to and including modern-day Lebanon. The Assyrians then settled this entire region with people from other nations they had conquered. As they intermarried, they became a mixed breed in every way, ethnically, racially, linguistically, religiously. So for Jesus to go from down south near the Jordan River, probably not far from Jericho, where he met John, Andrew, and Peter, up to the Galilee, they likely did as all Jews did. Jesus and his three new Jewish friends walked around Samaria so as to not have any contact with Samaritans, at least not yet. As you may know, so many things would change with Jesus over the 3 years these men were together. John doesn't tell us how or why Jesus encountered Philip, nor what caused Philip and Nathanael to have such a good friendship that Philip did as Andrew had done and quickly went to find a friend to bring to Jesus. But did you notice Philip doesn't say anything about John the Baptist, but rather Philip identifies Jesus as coming from Nazareth and being the son of Joseph. Hometowns then were even more important than they are in our day, and family line was also extremely important. With one sentence, Philip had given Nathanael such a picture of who this Jesus was that Nathanael asked a powerful question, and probably with an attitude. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" John 1:46. Do you hear prejudice, maybe some resentment or bitterness? Nazareth had a rough Roman soldier division based there. Roman soldiers were hated, and in many cases they deserved the reputation of angry, offensive, vicious men who often had little education but big egos that caused people to hide from them in fear. Philip's answer to his friend Nathanael was simple and yet very powerful. It's the very same invitation millions of followers of Jesus are giving to their friends as Easter approaches in 2022 all around the world. Three simple words: come and see. So Nathanael followed Philip, trusting their friendship to see who this new guy Jesus was and why Philip would speak so highly of him. Jesus responded to Nathanael in a similar way to how he had met Peter. John records the encounter this way: when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Now that's quite a statement. Jesus seems to be indicating that Nathanael is untouched by the mixed race problem of the Samaritans and that he is a man of integrity. Very nice comments, but of course Nathanael's brow furrowed. "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." John 1:48-49. "Now, perhaps it's your brow that is furrowed, my friends. Nathanael has made an outrageous statement, especially since only a few moments ago he wondered if anything good can come from Nazareth. It seems that in a few words, Jesus proved that he had some miraculous or at least mystical power. Evidently, Nathanael had been sitting under a fig tree, perhaps having a snack in the shade, when his friend Philip had approached Nathanael, told him about Jesus, and invited him to come and see this Jesus. Nathanael had gone with Philip, so he knew Philip had not told Jesus where Philip had found him or what they had said to each other. Yet, with Jesus' simple statement, Nathanael concluded Jesus had some supernatural power that he could see things far out of sight and know things without being told. Those were impressive, but frightening possibilities for any person. I find it fascinating, Nathanael didn't argue with or interrogate Jesus. Rather, he complimented him with such extravagant words that I suppose he was expecting Jesus to quickly deny the compliments, but Jesus didn't. In fact, Jesus affirmed those outrageous Nathanael statements by saying, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." I think Jesus paused right there, looking deeply into Nathanael's eyes and then Philip, a penetrating look that they likely both felt Jesus was looking deep into their soul. If John, Peter, and Andrew were with them, I suspect Jesus did the same with each man, a piercing, challenging but loving look. He didn't need to say anything. His look said it all. "What do you think about the words Nathanael spoke? Why do you think I didn't deny it? And what do you think of the words I just spoke?" These normal guys were having a life-changing encounter with the Son of God, even though he looked just like a normal guy from Nazareth. And then Jesus almost knocked them over with these words, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Look at them, eyes wide open, rubbing their chins, perhaps their mouths dropped open. As good Jewish men who knew the stories of their ancestors well, into their minds came the story of their common ancestor Jacob, who, when running away from his brother Esau, stopped for the night at a place along the road and was so tired he used a rock for his pillow. That night he had a dream. Heaven was open, and a ladder stretched from heaven to where Jacob was, and God was standing in heaven, speaking to him about the covenant promise God had given to Abraham and was now passing on to Jacob. Angels were ascending and descending on that ladder. It was a life-changing night for Jacob, and in the morning, Jacob named that place Bethel, the house of God. You'll find that story in Genesis 28. Nathanael, Philip, Andrew, Peter, and John had just heard their new friend Jesus say that this very same experience could be theirs if they spent time with Jesus. Now, they had no idea what Jesus could possibly mean. As we travel with Jesus and these men to Easter over these next 40 days, we'll discover what Jesus meant and how it changed their lives. So let's pause right there with them, aghast, stunned, imagining what it could mean for you and me if we spent time, maybe the rest of our lives, with Jesus. I've found an old song, probably recorded 50 years ago, that seems to fit so well right here.